Welcome back to Pod TST, a weekly Rams podcast. I'm Kenneth Arthur with Turf Show Times. And today, something different, something new. I'm going to be talking to one of our new writers here at Turf Show Times. You probably know him from the Random Ramsdom Daily Links. But he also does plenty more and is going to have a lot of really interesting information to share with us today about training camp, the training camps that he had attended this year, and as well as the first game at SoFi Stadium against the LA Chargers. We probably don't need to talk too much more about the game. It's just a preseason game. It's a long time ago at this point. It feels like forever ago at this point. I just remembered right now that it even happened. But we will mostly talk about the experience at SoFi Stadium and then some of the stuff about what's going on this season, our thoughts on some of the things that happened at joint training camp practice this week against the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm excited to say his last name. Please welcome Blaine Didasco. It's a very nice last name, Blaine, if I may say so.
Thanks. Thanks for the welcome, Kenneth. Glad to be here. And you did great, man. You're right. It's not a normal last name, but I've heard worse on first attempts.
Did I nail it, or was there a correction?
No, I wouldn't give a correction. Pretty close enough by far, for sure.
Close enough by far. Yeah, I've always prided myself on being able to correctly pronounce someone's name on the first try. It's something that's one of my favorite things to do. But one of my other favorite things to do is to talk about football. So we're going to be able to do that today. I teased a lot of it already, Blaine, but you know, you've been going to Rams training camp for a while, not just this year, right? So just kind of curious, seeing Sean McVay's training camps, did you notice anything unique about this season, this year at training camp, anything different with regards to Sean McVay or with maybe some of the other coaches? Was there any sort of different atmosphere this year?
Yeah, you're right. Been going to the training camps since 2016 when they first came back, and of course that was a Jeff Fisher training camp. Yeah. Everything was new, including Jared Goff, right? So everything was new, different kind of buzz. So kind of I'll start there, and that's sort of what's described or what I remember about that first camp, which is everything was new. Todd Gurley was the hype and was the man. That hope and that excitement is where we started. And it feels like a long time ago. It's been McVay show for the last 5 years. If anything, man, it's just, you know, we all know it's been an exciting ride with McVay every year. Good news, bad news. The good news is we keep setting the bar, and you know he's had four winning seasons.
Yeah.
Bad news is turnover with the coaches. So I'd say that's the first thing that's new almost every year is the coaching turnover, and in this case with Raheem Morris as kind of the obvious factor as far as that goes. The defense seems to have some juice. And then the other obvious new element is number nine. And that's definitely exciting for sure.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like there is a different approach to the passing game in training camp this year? Did you notice that there was more deep passing or a different level of play at the position? You know, it's not, I know people get very concerned maybe, or like, you know, as soon as I started saying these sentences, I could feel that there are some people listening who start to feel a little bit, they're warming up. They're starting to get hot under the collar because they know that I'm going to say Matthew Stafford is a better quarterback than Jared Goff. But, you know, That part, it does not mean that Jared Goff is in any way a bad player or a bad person. There's just a reason that the Rams traded for Matthew Stafford and had to give up all those draft picks. So, you know, this is not to disparage the previous quarterback, but was there a noticeable difference in the passing game at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of said it right in that Jared Goff, he's, you know, the number one draft pick for a reason. We had all that excitement in 2016 for a reason. I remember going out there and seeing, you know, the first few Jared Goff passes in person. And you definitely, you know, you heard the whir of the ball. You felt the velocity. And, you know, for the, you know, for us Angelinos, it's the first time that we got up close like that in a while. So at the time, you know, I was impressed and I was really excited about Jared Goff's arm talent. And he's kind of, you know, he's done a lot of good things and made some deep connections along the way. But yeah, something different. But I also say that, you know, we've the other part of it, literally the other half of it, is the receiver. We've gone through a few different deep threat options, mm-hmm. Sammy Watkins, Brandon Cooks, and now Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah.
So I think that's the other side of it, where if you get the right deep threats and it's working for you, then you have those looks to push it downfield. But on that note, definitely Matt Stafford's arm talent comes across when you see him in person. It's the accuracy, it's the velocity, and definitely just the raw power where he can get it downfield and get it out ahead of him. A few of those sort of mid-camp shots that I remember are everybody was connecting. Jackson was maybe connecting first. Everybody noticed. Then Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and Van Jefferson was, you know, the first one where I noticed the misses, where he was getting, you know, over. It looked like overthrown or Jefferson wasn't getting there. And so to me, that might be a better problem to have, that you have that quarterback that can get it downfield with that kind of power. And then it's just a matter of timing.
Yeah. We should talk about like sort of, so roughly how many training camp practices did you attend this year?
So out of the 10, I went to 4 days and it was the Monday, Tuesdays. So it ended up being, I think call it day 4 and 5 and then day 9 and 10.
So, so over that course of time, I think it would be good to like gather whether or not did any players stand out to you personally, because, you know, a lot of the times you might see something that not everybody else saw, that not anybody in the media saw, and not anybody that really, because I think like anybody that's out there can maybe catch, you know, their eye on something. And it's not like the coaches are going to give it away if they see that maybe there is a player standing out, unless they're asked directly. And then of course they're going to, you know, do that. But, you know, certainly I think Sean McVay is trying to hide some things about his plans for week one. But in terms of just like anybody that stood out to you, would there be any names there, maybe outside of the obvious or including the obvious?
Yeah, the first thing that kind of stood out to me, and I say first as in, you know, guys just taking the field and warming up, would be Tyler Higbee, our tight end. And we're talking about just his look and feel. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't tell you if he's, you know, lost or put on, but he's a big guy. He's a big guy, and I've been waiting for his breakout season. After his, you know, last couple decent seasons, but he comes back to me looking more athletic, looking faster, just his physique, looking faster, looking more athletic. Maybe he cut his long hair, I'm not sure. But he still looks big. So, you know, the kind of stuff you hope for from a tight end, looks big, but he looks fast. That was my first impression. And then in the last, following that, he followed it up in that he probably was the most, you know, he might have the most completions in training camp. Him and Cooper Kupp seem to be, the top two targets. I would say Tyler Higbee for sure looks like he's getting ready for a good season.
Yeah, you would take I would wonder how much of that has to do with Matthew Stafford and maybe, you know, including how much influence Matthew Stafford had on the Lions picking TJ Hawkinson 2 years ago, and maybe how much influence he has on asking or going to Tyler Higbee as one of his top two targets. I mean, that is not something that I think, you know, is necessarily anticipated by, you know, by a lot of people, but, you know, that's one I think is so interesting about this season with regards to Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, is that I don't think we really can anticipate what to happen. You know, I don't want to, you know, make that sound, you know, I don't want to overhype the potential or anything, but, you know, I just don't know that we can really guess, because I think Sean McVay sees a whole different set of opportunities in front of him that he hasn't had for at least the last 2 years, if not the entire time that he's been with the Rams. Because as you say, Jeff Fisher was the head coach around when Jared Goff was drafted. We don't know what decision Sean McVay might have had made at that same time. But with regards to Matthew Stafford, I forget where I was going with that, you know, but that'll happen sometimes. Preseason podcasts, you're allowed to do this once every podcast. But Tyler Higbee, yes, that's where I was going with it. Tyler Higbee, we don't really know. Maybe Tyler Higbee could become a bigger part of the offense, even as players like DeSean Jackson and Tutu Atwell were added. Did any of those guys, the DeSean Jacksons or the Tutu Atwells or Van Jefferson, stand out while you were in attendance?
Well, I think one of the kind of, you know, one of the downsides was the absence of Tutu Atwell in, call it, the first half of camp. Due to his COVID positive test. So I think, you know, that was a downside for us fans. We missed out watching him through a whole camp. And then definitely, you know, it's got to be a little bit of a disadvantage to the rookie trying to, you know, establish himself in this kind of wide receiver room. So yeah, missed out on that. Was definitely looking forward to seeing that. We got a little taste at the end and definitely saw a flash in the preseason game. Yeah, I think kind of the obvious then would be Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, the repeat as, or have another season as one of the top two tandems. You know, we're talking about route running and looking ready to do, to, lead the league in more, yards after catch.
Yeah.
So that definitely looked like that was syncing up pretty good.
Yeah, you bring up that stuff like route running, and it makes me think of something I was thinking the other day, which is, you know, I'm always wondering why it feels like wide receivers tend to be the most overhyped. I don't want to use the word, you know, overrated, but I feel like a good term would maybe just be like overhyped by, like, you know, media and fans, because when you're watching a training camp, it's hard to like watch every player on the field, and you're kind of most focused on where the ball could go to, because you know that's where perhaps the most exciting moment will happen, or as soon as the ball is thrown, you know, you've got your eyes on wide receivers a lot. And then I think part of being a good wide receiver is making a catch, and I think something that a lot of wide receivers can do is make a spectacular catch. You know, I think that's not the hardest part of being a wide receiver. I think it, you know, it might even be the most fun part of being a wide receiver. It might be the part that wide receivers relish the opportunity to obviously pull off, because that's going to be your highlight. So that's the thing that everyone's focused on. But there's all the other things about being a wide receiver that happens before you can even get to the catch point, which is, you know, whether or not you can, you know, run a good route, and whether or not you have, you know, multiple routes that you can run, and whether or not you're fast enough to get to certain points, and whether or not, you know, you're good at anticipating the quarterback, and you're good at beating a defender, you know, all of these things that other things go into it, that when people have training camp, it's like, every other player who's a standout in every training camp is a wide receiver, and everyone, all the fans are trying to do math on how the team can keep 8 or 9 of these guys, because I think they're so much more focused on, you know, that part where it's like making a catch, or like, you know, how much different it is in a practice, that when you're looking for standout players, it's hard to not stand out to some degree as a wide receiver. And that's just something that I think, I guess. But I do feel like with what about DeSean Jackson? Because that was a player who was considered one of the standouts early in training camp. Did you have any feeling or anticipation, or do you have any anticipation of, you know, how much DeSean Jackson would be utilized? Because I know there's some debate about whether him or Van Jefferson could be the third most likely target. And now we're also throwing, you know, Tyler Higbee into the top three targets probably.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, how to get the ball around. To your first point, though, I think you're right about that's the whole dynamic about, you know, practice, preseason hype, I guess you could say, is, man, it's hard on the defense. They say, you know, as the years go by, the game gets harder for defenses given changes in rules, but especially preseason. I mean, these guys aren't tackling. They're not bringing guys to the ground. And so those are your defensive highlights, and you take that out of the picture, then, you know, almost all you're left with are offensive highlights, really. I got to give credit to defenses where, yeah, man, it's hard to I guess make the notes as a defense. DeSean Jackson was to me the first one to flash deep, the first one that you see in camp connecting deep. But also at the same time, Van Jefferson seems to be taking most of the reps when you got the third receiver in there. It's Cup, Woods, and Van Jefferson. And it felt like a funny dynamic to me, where when you look at the lineup, you see 12 out there with Cup and Woods. But then the only time you see one, which is just DeSean Jackson, the only time you see him out there is when he's on the far end of a deep pass. So, I guess we don't want that to be too indicative. Otherwise, you know, we'll know what's happening when he's in there. But like you said, you know, if we could predict what's going to happen on the offense, we might have another job. But that's kind of what I saw. I saw definitely that dynamic of Jefferson seems to be getting in there a lot. But at the same time, DeSean Jackson looks fast, and his connection with Stafford, again, is syncing up with the deep ball. So we got a lot of options. And then even if we end up with a second decent tight end option, then yeah, man, we'll have some tools to play with.
Yeah, that seems like a mystery, doesn't it? Because nobody really talks about Bryson Hopkins at all, and other than to say that nobody's talking about him. And everybody's pretty familiar with Johnny Munt at this point. And it's not to say that there aren't a lot of useful Johnny Munts around the NFL. And I also just feel like people really underestimate the value that, you know, certain players have to the team, because, you know, for Sean McVay to have kept Johnny Munt around for as long as he has, always likes him, always puts him in certain positions, and you know, it gives him opportunities. It's like, not like he's going away. There's some sort of value that he brings there, special teams and everything, you know, the teams need those guys too. So, but he's not necessarily the guy that you're going to picture as the number two tight end. And I just cannot for the life of me believe that Jacob Harris is going to play any tight end this year. So, you know, that's where I feel like the numbers start to get really interesting, and whether or not the Rams would even need to maybe add a player in 2 or 3 weeks or 2 weeks when the cuts are made. Did anything stand out in terms of maybe a tight end, even if did something stand out as far as you would be surprised if Bryson Hopkins or somebody like that made the roster?
Yeah, I mean, you know, both ways. You know, if we end up seeing one of those players make the roster, and then, you know, on top of that, you know, how much a second tight end becomes part of the game plan. Two tight ends lining up is one thing. You know, getting the ball to a second tight end in this offense, you know, I think that's going to be pretty far-fetched. But
yeah,
luxury, you know, a luxury if we end up Johnny Munt. You know, he's caught some nice passes for us, and he's had some, you know, some decent production when he's in there and flashing. And otherwise, like you said, just a reliable role player. So all that I say that just, yeah, should we find another option in a second tight end as far as getting the ball, That would be a luxury, and would be further dangerous. But
yeah, because really, I mean, when you really think about it, like, you know, for all of that Gerald Everett can do, it's not as though having those two tight end receiving options helped the Rams get better offensively. They clearly regressed over the last 2 years mm-hmm. offensively, and Gerald Everett was, you know, a fine tight end, but not necessarily a guy maybe that even needs to be replaced in that manner. A lot of teams don't even have one receiving tight end, so. Right. But Tyler Higbee is definitely a guy that I've heard a lot of buzz about, and maybe not even on that larger scale, but a lot of buzz about from people who've been at Rams camp, and from everyone that you talk to, who has sort of noticed that same, difference, because things will be different this year. Defensively, did you happen to notice maybe any rotations with the linebackers, or, you know, at least like the guys that were most often working with the starters, or the guys that were most often like sort of making a play? Were there anything that stood out among the linebackers?
I mean, there was, you know, pretty consistent rotation as far as either these guys are going to be, you know, rotating to stay fresh, utilizing their depth, or we were trying to figure out who's going to be the main guys during camp. But Kenny Young was the most consistent, I think, as far as holding his position and maybe rotated out the least. And then next to him would be the one that rotated, you know, more. Traven Howard, Troy Reader was out there with the ones, Micah Kizer out there with the ones. I'd say if anybody looks to really be solidified in the interior, Kenny Young, and I'd be excited about that. The other three still, I think, a little bit to be excited about. Troy Reader, I think, you know, did a lot of good things last season. And then Ernest Jones, the rookie, is, you know, he's getting working with the twos pretty consistently, and had, you know, flashed in the preseason game. So I think he'd be the surprise if we end up, you know, seeing somebody else.
When you mention a lot of these names too, you know, it makes me think of another point, kind of, which I'm just realizing now, but it's kind of something that dawned on me before the preseason game too, which is like, when you watch the guys who go out there, it's so much more interesting to consider the guys who don't go out there. It's so much more interesting to start going like, oh wow, like now, like, you know, Kenny Young or whatever isn't like a preseason player, or there's like, you know, even better examples than that. But it did feel like this year was like the first year where it really felt like, oh, because there was no preseason last year. It's been a while since the preseason. And we know that Sean McVay doesn't like to risk anybody when he doesn't have to, that he considers of a certain value. But now to come back after, you know, 2 years without, you know, 2 years since the last preseason, it starts to dawn on you, like, the importance of being like, oh, wow, Sebastian Joseph Day is now like one of the big guys, like one of the most veteran guys, right? Like Kenny Young is considered like a veteran, experienced, important guy. Troy Reader is a veteran guy. Micah Kizer, even Traven Howard, not playing a lot in the regular season, like a lot of these guys who don't play. And then you start looking at like, yeah, the wide receivers like Woods and Kupp and the entire offensive line, with the exception of, you know, a couple of guys. And obviously people are curious about Brian Allen and stuff like that, but he's been around, this is his fourth year. So like, That feels like something that's just dawning on me too. And, you know, it sounds like you're saying, you know, you're in agreement. What are your thoughts there? Because it's not even just the starters. I feel like even the main backups are all guys that have been around for multiple seasons with the Rams.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point, that you're right. We spend more time thinking about who's on the field, but it is interesting to take note of who's being held out and what that says about their status. You're right about that. And it ends up being all these fringe guys that are, you know, trying to make this team, or really trying to make another team, auditioning out there in the preseason. So, you know, I think generally speaking, it's just, you know, for fans chomping at the bit, football action in some regard, but really hard to tie it to how it relates to the regular season, especially since we're get down to, like you said, you know, beyond the backups, really third stringers and these fringe players.
I mean, yeah, it's really deep. And he just really feels like, you know, people kind of want that situation where it's like they can have the best of both worlds. You know, it's every fan wants two things during the NFL year, every year from their team. These are the two things that every NFL wants their team to have: the Super Bowl and the number one pick in the draft. And they want it at the same time. Yeah. That's the dream of every NFL fan. I got to have, hey, I don't ask for a lot. I just want the Super Bowl and the number one pick in the draft. And, you know, so many Rams fans and fans of every team are so upset if they don't have like the very high draft pick or the first round draft pick, and the rookies that are like fun and exciting and new and have nothing but, you know, the brightest futures possible because they haven't played yet. And yet the Rams don't have any rookie. They don't want any rookies anywhere near the field because they're too talented. And you want to be like one of those teams, right? Like, you don't want to be a team. Like, there are good teams right now that are considering starting rookies either because, you know, they're just excelling in camp, or they had a need and then they found like a really nice fit, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And the Rams aren't even close to that. And they did make a lot of picks. They have a lot of rookies in camp. So I find it, you know, interesting because everybody wants those two things, but I think what you really want most of all is what the Rams are now. So that's why I think it's nice to maybe have this very long break from first round draft picks, because they are you don't really need them that much. Not as much as people do need them. I guess like I'll try and transition that into like a question for you, which is, you know, you also went to the preseason game. So, and everybody who's listening to this probably watched the preseason game as well, but through training camp and the preseason, did you have any notable rookie sightings, either, you know, something good or maybe a player's absence or being buried on the depth chart, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're still excited about Tutu Atwell. I mean, even if just as a punt returner, I think, you know, he's got a decent shot at being the punt returner for this season. We'll see how this second preseason game goes. But Ernest Jones, again, I think he had a good show during the first preseason game. So I'd say those two guys are standing out as far as the rookie class goes. And I kind of get your notion in that, you know, if you've been a Rams fan, you're getting pretty trained to start on the second day of the draft learning how to follow these mid-round picks. And, you know, I always think of Cooper Kupp when it comes to mid-round picks.
I mean, I think that's a great positive mindset. I wish everybody had this same positive mindset, because I love the, you know, all the rookies, you know, it doesn't matter to me necessarily where you were drafted. A lot of my favorite players weren't drafted. So, you know, and it doesn't really matter if they're my favorite or not. I like a new guy. I root for everybody pretty much. I'm trying to think if there's anybody I don't currently root for. But like, I like all the players, man. I just want everyone to do well and nobody to get hurt. But like, I'm really excited by very great players, you know, and I want the Rams right there. I've picked them in to go to the Super Bowl. I've got a lot of high expectations this year for the Rams. And that's where I'm kind of like, it's good that they don't have a need for these rookies, but I think it's fine. It's fun to have like guys in the third or the fourth or the fifth round, like Cooper Kupp. And I think that you can easily find, you know, your best players on day two and day three of the draft. I don't really know that I've seen or heard a lot about many of them this year, maybe because they're buried on the depth chart and because of some of those, you know, Tutu Atwell missing some time. But The second year guys also, they got their first preseason game. I wouldn't be able to put you on the spot and ask you what you thought of any of the second year players, because I don't even know if I have that list off the top of my head.
Let's see here. Well, Xavier Jones, I mean, he's the one undrafted, yeah, like, second-year player, right?
Yeah.
You know, he looked good. I mean, at least, you know, in the preseason game versus practice, at least you see him, you know, getting taken down when they're getting taken down. Hard to say with the, call it third string blocking. But I'll say for Xavier Jones that through camp, and in the preseason, you know, I think the best thing you can tell, other than stats, is the best way you can tell is kind of the eyeball test, and that hard to tell about stats and yardage. But you know, if you're there and you see enough of it, you feel when a guy is quick, when he's cutting hard, and when he's got that burst. Especially since, you know, starting since 16, we got to watch guys like Todd Gurley, and even Malcolm Brown is a good running back. I think second year guy Xavier Jones is he'd pop out to me.
You know, I was also looking at the 2019 draft class, and I think that again, this is a draft where the Rams didn't have a pick in the top 60, and listen to how many players are going to play integral roles, a lot of starters this year: Taylor Rapp, Daryl Henderson, David Long, Greg Gaines, David Edwards. I was going to say all those guys are starters, but not Greg Gaines quite yet, but he's getting there. And then also Bobby Evans, who obviously has been considered one of the disappointments of training camp for a lot of, you know, I think fans are just disappointed because they thought Bobby Evans was going to be a starter there. And it turns out that right now he's not. And Nick Scott, who might be the most important player on special teams and also picks up a lot of snaps on defense now, even with two safeties. I know that there's also a lot of mixed opinions on Taylor Rapp. What have you been your feelings on Taylor Rapp, both like in the beginning of his career and right now in camp?
First of all, the second year players, you know, we're forgetting the most obvious. I think Van Jefferson and Van Jefferson on offense, Jordan Fuller on defense, I'd say would be the obvious ones. But, you know, I guess going deeper than Xavier Jones, who's not a starter. Taylor Rapp, I'm right there kind of with the rest of the group where mixed because he's shown some weaknesses, and he's costed us, I guess, against the 49ers, right? So that hurts a little deeper. But he's got potential. He's young yet, so I wouldn't count him out. I think he's shown that he can be a strong tackler when he's in the right position. Young as far as still learning schemes, NFL schemes, both on the offensive side, learning other offenses, and then learning, you know, the defensive scheme that he's in. So I think that goes to say for a lot of rookies where, you know, physical development is one thing, but I think, you know, for guys like Taylor Rapp, I think, you know, we'll wait and see if he keeps a starting job long enough to learn the game, and we get to see a next level out of him. So not counting him out. If he ends up being, you know, the starter like he looks to be this year, then, like you say, you know, we'll be rooting for him.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for him. And I also think that Sean McVay has some good depth there. If they do end up having to make a change for any reason, you know, having drafted Terrell Burgess, having, you know, Nick Scott there, maybe advancing his play, you know, it's not as though, you know, it's a very interesting consideration to think about whether how often a player, you know, can they improve over the course of several years? Of course, to what degree, you know? And then there's also, I think it's very true that great players are often just great, and they always just play great. And, you know, has Taylor Rapp played great in his opportunities so far as a whole? You know, not quite, because obviously the Rams have not exactly shown a huge vote of confidence in him with their draft picks and their moves. So, but they do have confidence in him right now, and I do root for him, and I do think he's the type of guy that you do want to root for. So it's interesting to see him. Again, this is another guy, it's interesting to see him out there not playing in a preseason game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't really anticipate Sean McVay risking any of his players in the preseason. Do you feel that is the way to go? Because not every coach, you know, obviously goes this way. You know, Tom Brady was out there for a minute and Patrick Mahomes was out there for a minute. Does it make you feel any type of way to not see starters in the preseason?
I think every team is different. And so, you know, I think take a team like Detroit, who, you know, well, I guess we're both in the same boat where we got the new quarterback. But I think it's team specific. You know, McVay, you could say, was the one to start this trend. And if you had to take the general mm-hmm. picture, you know, he's winning for the most part. Upsides and downsides, I think, you know, to have a player get injured in the preseason, is one of the worst things that can happen. So I think to avoid that at all costs is, I'm with that strategy, but definitely there's a downside to having, you know, having no live action until go time. But I think in the end, team specific, as far as what players you're dealing with, and where they're at in their careers.
Yeah. And we're about to get out of here. Before I go, you know, it makes me think of another thought that I had. I'll run it by you, Blaine, and you can tell me whether or not you think that this is a plausible theory or not. My theory, because you're right, Sean McVay did start a trend, and a lot of coaches are playing their starters a lot less, barely any, in the preseason. I think a lot of people want to follow the cool, young, hip guy. And he did bring in cool, hip ideas to the NFL by being the youngest coach in the history and whatnot. And clearly his success has permeated throughout the rest of the league in terms of people that they hire. That's been very interesting to watch. But, you know, one of the things that I'm curious about is whether or not there will be an increase, a dramatic one, or maybe just a minor one, in injuries around the NFL this year. Because to me, whether you know, get injured, you know, get a serious injury or any amount of injury in the preseason, it's like you're gonna get injured at some point, you know. Like I don't know if that taking off that 30 or 35 snaps or maybe 50 or 60 snaps from the preseason is necessarily going to be the difference. And then obviously there's 17 games now, so you're going to have more injuries. And I know also, like, just in terms of total numbers of games, but I just feel like it's possible that if you're trying so hard to avoid injury, it's like you can't really avoid injury. Like if there's going to be a week, if it's going to happen in preseason game 3, it could just as easily happen in week 1. You know, it's like, there is this potential. I think that's also why the joint practices are considered to be so important, because now this was never a thing, right? It feels like it just happened. I mean, obviously it's been a thing for a very long time to have joint practices, but it feels like much more these joint practices are becoming important, because they're saying, like, not to get injured play in the preseason. But it's like, I don't know. I just feel like you got to get hit around. You're going to get injured. Any thoughts that maybe there would be an increase in injuries?
Well, I get your sentiment, but I think definitely, like I said, it's not a 100% strategy to, you know, to withhold our key players from the action in preseason, because the downside is, for sure, yeah, I think you risk injury having to ramp up, you know, to another gear when the game is on the line, without, you know, call it a gradual increase by reps or by just, you know, the amount of, you know, effort you're putting forth or whatever it is. So for sure, I think that without that gradual progression, you know, there might be a increased risk of injury, but it's a balance to play, I think, for sure. And then it might be a matter of timing, where even if you have a player that would get hurt in the third game, whether it's the third preseason or the third regular season game, you know, maybe you're getting that action or that production out of that player for the first two games, yeah, before that thing occurs on their third game that they're in.
Yeah.
So, you know, hard to call.
Yeah. You're right about that. I don't even know, as I was recounting that thought out loud, I was like, I don't know if this is a good point or not, but I'm going to finish it because you got to stay committed. Well, that's it for this week. We didn't talk much about like Rams Raiders because at least in terms of the first preseason game, because I don't know if that really matters. Blaine, did anything as we get out of here, did anything there at the first SoFi Stadium game, because you were in attendance, did anything stand out to you as an attendee, both good or bad?
Yeah, I mean, the place is amazing. I mean, so I'll just say that number one, you know, it's I love the Coliseum. It was a special experience, but coming from the Coliseum, this place is a whole different experience. And I'll even say that we ain't seen nothing yet. So for all the fans that were in attendance in the preseason game, it was a new level. But I don't think it's anything like what we'll see on September 12th. There was a bit of that reserve, call it, for whatever reason. It's preseason, just general conditions of what's happening. But I think that it was amazing. But when that stadium's at full force on September 12th, I think that's going to be a whole nother level also.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Sunday Night Football, the Bears, mm-hmm. but also, just having a regular season game with all of the stars and the starters, mm-hmm. This preseason is just a reminder of how special those guys are, the guys who are starting in week one. So that's it for this episode of Pod TST. Blaine, you know him from the Random Ramsdom Daily Links every morning. Blaine, is there anything else that you would like to say in terms of whether or not you do social media and whether they can find you there?
Mainly just started on the Twitter. So I'm on there at Blaine Didasco, but otherwise just keep following the TST. We'll keep doing it every day and get ready for a great season.
And I'm Kenneth Arthur, and I don't have any social media there. But if you like this podcast, please do subscribe, and it'll be around every week, including an instant reaction show that happens right after the game, where I or me and a guest will recount what just happened in the game between the Rams and whoever they played that week. So subscribe to a Pod TST to get it directly after the game, and you don't even have to come find it. That's it for this episode of Pod TST. Come back next time, which is Saturday night after the game against the Las Vegas Raiders, for the next episode of Pod TST.